It's good to be here, first day of the week, worshiping as one, our Lord and our Creator, right? It's always a good time to be here together. It's not because we don't want to be here, but we want to be here worshiping our Lord, right? That's the same sentiment that all of us should have. So, well, on that same note, I appreciate the opportunity to be the youth minister and to help out in that aspect, and as a starting preacher, that's a pretty good task, and it's going to take a little starting up and getting things going. But we are so pleased to be here working with Dewey Avenue and to work with Dell and many things that we have in mind and things that we will be able to do, Lord willing, and with the help of the elders as well. We appreciate that as well. Myself and my family are delightful to be here and working with you all and trying to do the best we can to guide our youth and to guide them in the right path and to help them grow spiritually, because that's the most important thing in life. That, that's why, we get that example from our parents, that, we continue on this life, that we go on in, the main goal is to attain eternal life and that we continue on with it. With that in mind, I would like us to think about, there's a specific charge that David gave to his son, Solomon. If you would, our text will come from 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 9 and 10. Our text will come from 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 and 10. It tells us, as we can see from the beginning of that chapter, that the layout of the special instructions that he gives his son for the building of the temple. Verses 9 and 10. Chapter 28, 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 and 10. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your fathers and serve him with a loyal heart, and with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build the house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. We see that there's a solemn charge that David gives his son. David was denied the privilege of building the temple for the Lord because he was a warrior. He had too much blood in his hands. So we see that he is passing along the torch to his son. And our text has a solemn charge to Solomon, who would build the temple. The charge is applicable for us in many, many ways for us to serve the Lord today. So let us notice from that text, let us notice five points there from that quick text there. So we see, know God. Why do I need to know God? This is what is desirable for us as Christians. This is what is desirable for us. The knowledge is desirable above all things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 tells us that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed in his death. So again, we need to know. We have to have knowledge of God. Why know God? is because we need to not be idolaters, as Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 tells us. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you serve those which by nature are not gods. And again, we see that example in Acts chapter 17, verse 23, when the Apostle Paul was there and they were worshiping the unknown God. And he says, here, I'll preach to you about the unknown God in that occasion. Romans 1, chapter 1, verses 28 to 32 gives a whole list of things that the people had turned, that God had turned them over because of their not righteous life that they were living. So why we need to know God? Because to have eternal life. There's a reason. That's why we follow. That's why we're Christians. Because the hope is of eternal life. John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is eternal life. That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who you have sent. And again, why we need to know God? Because we want to avoid punishment. That punishment when Jesus come. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 8 tells us the fate of those who don't live righteous in the righteous side of God. So how can I know God? How can I know Him? Not only through nature. We know that, you know, this is His creation. We get to enjoy it. But not only through nature, as Psalms 19:21 tells us, but by the revelation of Christ Himself. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true. In His Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and the true God and eternal life. Again, by the revelation of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came here to this earth for the sinners, for that we can have that chance to be righteous in the sight of the Lord by loving Him. By loving Him and obeying Him. First John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. So we need to know, we need to love each other because that is of God. 1 John 2:3. Now by this we know that we know Him and we keep His commandments. Again, by loving and obeying Him, that's the way that I can know Him as well. Secondly, we can see to serve God in the same text. It is telling us to serve God. This is the whole duty of man, as Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 tells us. This is the whole duty of man to know God. Romans 12 in chapter 1 tells us, I beseech you, the Apostle Paul tells us here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies in a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is our reasonable service, to come and worship with Him and to present our bodies to Him and as a living sacrifice. It's not like the sacrifice that they did in the Old Testament, but this is our sacrifice, to come and worship Him in every time we can as well. So why serve Him? He made us His own, as 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 through 20. Or do you not know what your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are of God. Because why serve God again? Because He made us His own. He made us in His own, and He owns us. we have received the kingdom as well. Hebrews 12, 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. When can we can follow the same example of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Simple verse, right? But easy to not do sometimes. But the Apostle Paul here encouraged us to imitate him as he imitated Christ. You know that the Apostle Paul always ensured himself to follow Christ, to follow what Christ wanted him to do as well. To be delivered, we see that in the Old Testament there, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, we see the famous story, or the narrative there of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we see how firm that they were in their belief, and they told the king, you know, let be so. You know, if the Lord's going to deliver me, he's gonna do it. And they have that faith in God. And whenever they didn't decide to worship the king there, they knew that the Lord was with them. Daniel 6:20 tells us again, and when he came to the den, this is the king, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continuously been able to deliver you from the lions? Again, we see that two great examples in the Old Testament about the deliverance. So why we need to serve God is because we to be delivered as well, to have that the same deliverance as well. How can I serve God? How can you serve God as a Christian? How can I serve myself, God, as Christian? Well, willingly, in the with a perfect heart, like as 1 Chronicles 28:9 tells us there. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searches all the hearts and understand all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you, but if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So we see that we need to be willingly to serve God. We need to, how we can serve God willingly. Secondly, we can gladly, we serve him gladly, as Psalms 102 tells us, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing, like we do right now, like we're doing right now here, worshiping our Lord with gladly, with the many blessings that he have provided to us, with the many things that he have provided, even though sometimes we don't deserve them. The Lord always shows his blessings towards the people that love him, the people that are with him. Again, we need to serve him gladly. In other words, we don't need to be told what to do, but we come with that attitude that we are serving gladly and that we are willing to do what is necessary in the Lord's vineyard. Humbly, Acts 20:19, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happens to me by the plotting of the Jews. This is the Apostle Paul here. See, there's a sense that, you know, there's a sense that here the Apostle Paul had some suffering by serving the Lord, but he was humbly willingly to serve the Lord continuously, as we can see in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, verse 16 and 20, there we see that even though that decree that the king gave or signed that nobody should pray to the Lord, Daniel continue in what he did, continue in the worshiping of the Lord. No matter what happened, he continued because he knew he was serving the living God. So he knew that he continually did what he needed to do as well. Thirdly, we need to take heed. So we need to understand, and many warnings are given to those who serve God. In other words, to us who serve God truthfully. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 tells us, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to all things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? So there's a sense that there's an urgency that I need to take heed, that I need to put my relationship with the Lord, that I need to put it right there in my priority. It comes first than anything else in the world in occurring around me, that I put God first. There's an urgency, the heat, that way we don't get drift away, like the verse tells us. So that we don't drift away, that we don't know that we're not serving the Lord because we get distracted to the things of the world there. 1 Timothy 4:16, this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy there. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we're always trying to preach and convert people and tell them about the great things that Jesus has done for us. Because we know that we need to put it in that priority. We know that it needs to be a priority in our lives to continue in them, and for doing so that we will obtain salvation, because we need, it's implied here that we need to do the work, not somebody else doing the work for us, but myself as a Christian doing the work as well, a responsibility. Fourthly, be strong. There are many advices about in the Bible for us, the Bible that tells us to be strong. Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his power of his might. And then we see that continuing on that chapter, that the Apostle Paul tells us how to be strong and how to basically get the whole armor of God, get what we need to get and to come out and combat the devil, because the devil is always out there to try to bring us down. He already has people following. He's gonna try to attack us, because we know he knows that we're trying to live rightly in the sight of the Lord. So he's gonna try to attack us. So here the Ephesians 6:10. The Apostle Paul tells us, finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in his power of his might. 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches, in needs, in persecution and in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Here the Apostle Paul telling us that the importance of his ministry, what he have gone through, and again we can relate this to Philippians chapter 4 verses 10 and 11, that we need to understand that we need to be comforted in sometimes we get busy in our lives to obtain certain things, which is not bad. But the thing here is, don't make it our focus. they'll make it the main point to do that, because you know it would distract us from our daily walk with the Lord. And the Lord, and here the Apostle Paul says, you know, I have learned to live, you know, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, and so on. He has basically, he's telling them, I have learned to live in, you know, this condition, poor, or you know, filled with, filled with, or have, you know, be poor or rich, whatever the case might be, I have learned to live within my means. That's what it's trying to say. So, again, here, the Apostle Paul, in my infirmities, in my, reproaches, in needs of persecution, and in distress for Christ's sake, for then when I am weak, then I am strong. So, you know, this tells us that there is, in our walk, there's going to be some type of reproaches, some type of challenges in our life. But, you know, in those, we can come up strong. In those, we can come up very strong, because we know, and we have the Bible, and we have the scriptures telling us, and we have the Lord on our side that's going to help us if we are practicing, and we are encouraging and following and keeping his commandments and being strong. Fifthly, do it. Not like the Nike sign, but do it. It says, the bottom line, brethren, is that one can have many attributes. We can do the best in our life. We can do whatever is asked of us. But if the will of God goes undone in our life, all will be for nothing. If the will of God is undone in my life, what God tells me to do, what God tells me to do in my life, the things that I need to improve in my life, if that's undone, what is it? Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be worth nothing in the end, right? If I do many attributes, if I, you know, obtain everything in the world, you know, whatever I can obtain, but if I don't do the necessary things that the Lord has asked me to do, the things that the Lord has asked me to do to grow the church, the things that, you know, so on, we can go so on, and the many things that we are commanded to do as Christians, if we don't do them, you know, it will be for nothing. It goes, you know, the will of the Lord is undone. If we're not preaching, if we're not reaching out, if we're not doing what we need to do as Christians, it will not serve us for nothing. Genesis 6:22, we see this here. Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. So basically, what the Lord tells us to do in our life, in our daily walk with him, we should be doing it. It's not the way I want it. It's not the way I think I want to do it. It's the way that the Bible and the scriptures tells us to live. This is our guide. This is our main guide. There is no, you know, super book or something that's telling you, you know, how to live. You know, that's going to tell us in the earthly way how to live. But this is our guide as Christians that tells us what God wants us, what God wants in our life, in his submission to him. So we see that Noah, that great example of Noah, he did what the Lord commanded it. Even though people were making fun of him, even though people were, you know, saying that he was crazy for building an ark, and, you know, it's not going to rain, is that? Yeah. We might be there, brethren. We might be pulling this way, and people will be like, why are you doing this? Why are you living this way? You know, it might seem that we'll be the only ones, but we are doing what God has told us to do, and we need to consider that, and we need to have that in mind as well. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. See, whoever does the will, we can say, I'm doing all this. I think I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. That's not going to take me to heaven. It's what the will of God and what he wants me to do in my life, again, in the things that I need to improve in my life. Revelation 2:14 tells us, blessed are those who do his commandments. that they may have the right of tree of the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates to the city. So that's the goal, that we continue in his commandments, that we have obtained eternal life. That's the goal of the Christian walk. That's the goal, that one day when Christ comes here, that we are able to be fine ourselves, that we have done a great work. So we need to do it. We need to actually do it. Do an action, not just hear it, not just stand here and preach about it and just meditate about it, but, you know, do the action and continue doing. Finally, do you know God? Do we know God? Are you serving him? Do we serve him? Or are you, if you are, let us be strong and continue. If not, let us begin today, brethren. It is important, as we can see, that this charge to David, the charge that David gave his son, was important in the life of him. The charge that David gave him was specifically important. We see that he became the great king. He became, renowned king. But at the end, he regrets because he walked away from the Lord. But we see that the importance, we need to know God. We need to serve God. We need to take heed ourselves. Be strong in the Lord and do the action. Do what is needed of us to do. We need to understand that it's important, brethren, in our life, in our daily life, to do these things and to keep on going, and the Lord will help us in the end. If you're here, if you haven't become a member, you need to become one. So you need to hear the word, that's what we're doing now. You need to hear the word, as Romans 10, 13 to 17. You need to believe the word. We need to repent of our sins. We need to have a confession, as Acts 8, 37. And we need to be baptized. And finally, live faithfully. As Romans 2, 10 tells us, we finally need to be faithful to the end to attain that. If you're here and you understand this, we encourage you to do that. We encourage you to look into it. And it's an important decision in your life you're ever going to make. And you can start your walk again. And you can apply this charge as we went through, charge that David gave his son to him to in his life, that we can have a nice walk with the Lord and we can be successful in our Christian life. If that is the need, let us stand as we sing our invitation song and let us notice if you need that, come forward and we will be able to help you.